Good morning, cows. This is Jay Nemro, quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. You're listening to the podcast. It's quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. Someday I'll explain it. If you want to know more, go to Quix, Q-U-I-X, which is the initials, sort of, quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. It's actually an X, not a Z. Everybody thinks it's a Z. It's actually X. QUIX.US. It used to stand for something else, but that thing kind of lost some of its appeal for me, so I got rid of it and came up with quasi-indefatigable Zenilith. Alright. What were we talking about before? Oh, about mindless consumerism. Oh. That's kind of what our culture is built upon. It's not built upon anything of value. It's built upon the fact that everybody depends upon everybody else buying, because that's how we all make our money. That's how we all do things. We don't really produce a whole lot, especially in our country. We don't produce a lot of things anymore. Most of our money is made shuffling things around. We're more of the traders of the universe. We don't go out and work and raise food, for instance. Some places we do, but by and large we import that stuff from other places. And mostly we make a lot of our money making sure all this stuff ends up place to place. The biggest thing right now I keep up with electronics journals and information technology. And the biggest thing right now is RFID, radio frequency identification tags. You put something that puts out a little signal when it's activated, and it helps you track things. Walmart's getting a lot of press just right here at the moment because they're using these RFID tags to track things so much better so they can make sure that they're never out of stock on anything. If somebody wants something, they want to be able to provide it. And that's one of the big icons of our culture. We want what we want, and we want it now. I'm willing to pay a premium, or I'm willing to give my loyalty to a company who will provide me with what I want as quickly as they can. You know, that's why not everybody shops on eBay, for instance, because eBay's a little on the slow side. You have to sit around for days and wait and see if you win an auction. And if you win that auction, then you have to wait for somebody to actually ship it to you. It's really great for kind of esoteric stuff that you won't find in your normal everyday store. If you have a hobby or if you're really after something very, very specific, eBay's great for stuff like that. Now I'm stuck behind another 10-mile-an-hour vehicle that's going... Now he's decided he wants to speed up. Thank you so much, sort of. It's all about this mindless consumerism thing, and I've never been really big on it. I've always felt like there was a lot to be gained by taking what other people just kind of throw away. Because people throw away the most amazing things. All my computers that I use, except for this laptop that's provided by somebody else, provided by my work actually, is secondhand. It's something that somebody else had, and at some point those people said, well, honestly, we don't want anymore. We're going to buy a new computer, and we just have no place to throw this one. You want to take it? I was like, yeah, I'll take it. I take it, and I put Linux on it, and I have a good time, because Linux is great fun. It doesn't cost a penny. And it provides something wonderful for the guys who write all that software. They get the notoriety of saying, that was my program, it was one of my projects, and I did. It was free. They do it basically for free, and they give it away. And it's a marvelous thing. I think that to a degree, the whole general public license and open source software, I think, except for those isolated cases where you're actually making the basis of a commercial product, and you want free development done on it, that you can turn into a commercial product later. I don't think open source is really, I think it's a fad. I think it's going to, it's come, it's had some fun, and basically it's going to go away to a certain degree. But that's okay, because Linux as it stands now is really intriguing and really interesting, and I don't think you'd have to do tons more to it to make it any more so. To a degree, open source software has become the backbone of the internet. There's not a lot of cost or anything else. A lot of formerly commercial products have gone into open source so they can continue to have a life, so that the people who own them can still make a little bit of money off of them. You know, you can almost wake up a whole new life for a product by just saying, now it's basically free, basically, but I'll give you a deluxe version that has a few more features. And you can have a whole cadre of people who know a whole lot more about this stuff than you do, actually doing most of the grunt work because they just enjoy getting their notoriety. And you just add a little bit more to it. It doesn't have to be a lot. And boom. And you can turn it into a commercial product, because the parts that aren't open source, people, you can make them pay for it. Anyway, it's taking what other people consider worthless or not valuable, which is really easy these days because we throw away stuff long before they're actually used up. We waste prodigiously. Whole cultures could live off of our waste. Some people do. Dumpster divers are interesting people, but they live a half decent life. They eat food you don't want to eat. You go to a grocery stores throw out tons and tons and tons of stuff. They've gotten better at it. Now, they don't waste as much as they used to because all the press on the dumpster divers made it obvious that there was still some value in all this stuff. So now the stuff that they used to, like, say, 20 years ago, throw away, put in the dumpster because they said, we can't sell this at full value, they mark it down. Or they have a little store that handles their damaged goods, and they still sell the damaged goods there for a lower price. It's interesting how these things go. They find a whole new market for cheaper goods, and they see that there's a market there for it. Not a huge one, but one that they can capitalize on. So dumpster diving was a great fad, but what it did was, it actually, because it was noticed, it became it basically became a real problem. Honestly, if you want to know the truth, if I had a piece of land, and a lot of people don't like these pieces of land, I tend to find great value in land that's garbage, that people go, oh, I don't like living there because there's a big airport, it flies, and I can't stand the sound of air of planes constantly flying over. Or I live near a toxic waste dump because, you know, or I don't want to live by a toxic waste dump because it smells bad, and I'm afraid my kids are going to grow three arms, stuff like that. Not that I go to that extreme, but I think there's a lot to be said about going to places where people don't want to go. Number one, the land's pretty cheap. Number two, there's usually ways that you can turn that bad thing into a good thing. There's always a market for nearly everything you can think of. I've always been interested in buying a piece of land on which a huge power line went through, because honestly, those things throw out a lot of electricity. It's mostly due to inductance, but then you can put you can set up kind of a thing nearby that power line, and you can draw power from it, because, you know, there's a whole lot of power that's wasted as it goes down these transmission lines. And these guys really, to a great degree, can't tell if there's somewhat of a drain from it. it's not your kick in the power lines. They can't get you for saying, oh, you can't get to our power lines without us knowing about it, so we're mad and we're gonna get you. And you go, no. I just happen to have a coil inside my house that takes all these strong magnetic fields that you're putting out and turns it into electricity that I use in my house. I don't have to pay for electricity because it's all coming through that line. It's almost kind of like leeching. It's not a symbiotic relationship because while you're taking something, you're not giving something back. It's more, for lack of a better term, lecherous. You know? You're just leeching off of something. I have many nice computers because I leech off of people who have bought a new computer and say, well, I don't need the old one. I'm just going to dump it. Here, you can have it. I don't want it hanging around the house. It's just a big doorstop to me. Well, it's still a perfectly good computer. If you can stay 5 or 6 years behind the curve, heck, man, you've got it made. You've got it freaking made. Everything is just fan freaking stinking tastic. And that's a lot of what I do. I stay behind the times. A lot of the videos that we watch are 5, 6, 7 years old. They're on the remainder bins. They aren't the top run movies, although we like those too. We'll tend to go out and we'll rent old videos, and if we like those old videos, then we'll find a way to buy them cheaply. We can have them. And it's kind of cool. I like it. It keeps the cost down. We're starting to move over to DVDs. The VCRs are really getting crappy. And it's hard. It's still pretty easy to find old VCRs. We were going to do I was thinking of doing it as a business, and it really wasn't a business. It was just to provide for some of my needs without paying money for it. To start a videotape exchange where people would come and exchange their videos for other ones, you know. Lots of people have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of videos that they've watched maybe 5 times, and once they watch it 5 times, they go, oh, I've seen that, I know that. But they went out and they bought it because that's what you do. You go out and you buy the video so that you don't have to pay rental fees. Obviously, in this case, rental fees aren't such a bad idea. But, you know, my family tends to watch videos over and over again, so it makes some sense for us to buy them. We usually buy them after, you know, off of the sit-up rack, you know, from the video store that stocks hundreds of the new releases. And then sells off the bulk of them, and once they're there long enough, they keep dropping the price, until it doesn't cost hardly anything at all. And that's kind of the way it is. We get a bunch of $2 DVDs, $2 videos, because everybody who wants that video has already sold it. Anyway, we were going to do this video exchange. We could have a new supply of videos all the time. We could kind of, you know, we could shuffle through them. And watch the ones we want. We enjoy watching videos. It's not necessarily a bad thing as long as you don't do it too much. Anyway, so I was going to do this, you know, have this little thing where people would come bring in their videos and they'd pay 50 cents for the privilege of trading out. Or they'd pay $1 if they weren't bringing another one in. So we would have this whole set. It was a pretty sweet little deal. You know, it's not going to do anything because, frankly, videos are going up. VHS is just garbage. Nobody wants it. That's okay. I'll have my house. I'll basically build a house out of VHS tapes. I wonder if they're a good building material. Anyway. They probably could be. We could probably melt them down into these little ingots of plastic. And make stuff with them. You know, I'm sure it's vaguely illegal, but you know what? Lots of things in life are illegal. I can't say that. A lot of things have been made illegal because people just don't want you doing things. They want you mindlessly consuming. Is this sick part 2 of mindless consumption? Maybe so. Be out in the middle of nowhere where nobody bothers with what you're doing. They don't care. You also kind of stay quiet. Don't advertise it. Don't talk about it very much. You know, people talk up things predominantly for two reasons. The first one is to make money off of it. They figure that somebody will come and notice them and say, oh, that's cool. I'll pay you for you to tell me how to do this. It's usually dumb things they could have thought of themselves. Anyway. So you go off and you go do something, and you go to have this very different life, and you stay quiet about it. People ask you, what do you do for a living? And you go, oh, just this and that. Because honestly, you don't want people to know about your sweet deal. Because you know what? Somebody will come and they'll say, oh, well, I don't think that should be legal. I think we should make a law against that specifically to stop you from doing that. And that's what happens. You get noticed doing that. And you don't want to be noticed. You want people to leave you alone. Go away. Leave me alone. I don't want to be talked to. I don't want to be messed with. I have my life. Leave me alone. Not that I want to be a hermit. I've been accused of wanting to be a hermit. I think I've wanted to be a hermit in the past. But I really don't. I really don't have that interest, particularly, to be a hermit. But I want to be able to do what I want to do. And I know that to a degree in our society, to be able to do that, you have to kind of stay quiet. I'm not advertising this website. I'm not advertising these podcasts. You know? I just do it because it's here. You know, maybe I wouldn't mind getting rich and famous off of it. I doubt I will because I don't think it has that kind of appeal. You know, people tend to do things in fads. So if you're going to do something that makes a lot of money, you better do it quick. And you better make sure that all of your money gets made in the first 6 months. You know, if you're going to do something that you think is going to be a phenomenon, that you think will can make you really, really rich, be ready to really ramp up when it comes. When it hits, be ready to have 50 manufacturers in China to crank out what you're doing. Of course, they're going to steal from you and make cheap knockoffs of what you're doing. But, you know, that's all part of it. It's that first little ramp up. Make all your money, do it great, crank it out. Make as much money as you can because it's not going to last for maybe more than 6 or 8 months before it's passé. There's so many instances of that, it's almost frightening. It's like, you can take the iPod for instance. You might be listening to this broadcast on an iPod. And you have to understand that, that you really kind of are a sucker. You know, there's really much cheaper versions of MP3, portable MP3 players than iPod is. It wasn't even the first one. It was the first one that Apple did. Apple tends to do kind of cool, kind of, I wouldn't say glitzy, cool things. Cool things that the rich and the famous like. I swear, I think Steve Jobs is the meme god. If there's anything cool to be done, if there's anything that's on the way up, Steve Jobs is doing it. That's what he does. His computers are cool. His all of his consumer appliances are cool. That's all there is to it. You know, he's always pushing the envelope. And that's why if you have an original iPod, you look like an idiot. You look like somebody who's stupid. Why? Because, hey, anybody who has an iPod must be cool. And iPod, the old iPods, the big thick ones that look more like a, you know, kind of like a small brick. They're passe now. You have to have a new iPod with a color screen. The new iPod, it's really, really small and skinny, the Nano. They had to shuffle for about 5 minutes, but they decided that it was time to move up to the Nano because it has color, although doing color is silly. It uses more power. It's got a myriad of problems. And who wants to watch videos on a 2-inch screen? That's just dumb. Who wants to do that? But that's okay. It's got that glitz factor. It's going to be cool for the next, frankly, Steve Jobs can stretch these things out. It'll probably be cool for a year, year and a half. But then he has to come with something new, something even better. It's got to be smaller. It's got to have some whole new feature. that makes it that much better, because, you know, somebody else is going to think up a new mess thing to impress the cows. Cows have to have new stuff all the time. Someplace new to go, some new pasture to run in. And I think the great secret to living a happy life is to be able to separate yourself from this stuff. You know, go off somewhere else, provide for your needs without putting forth a lot of money to do it. Do most of the actual production of what you need yourself. You don't have to do all of it. You don't have to be like Ted Kaczynski, or live off in the middle of nowhere and be a hermit. Although I look at a lot of people like that because they had some ideas that were intriguing to me. Not that I want to be the Unabomber and blow up people. That's not what I mean. I mean people who said, you know, I can live for years out in the middle of nowhere without any visible means of support. And they go, it affords me a lot of time to be with my wife. I enjoy helping my wife with the work of everyday life. I enjoy it. I like being with her. She appreciates my help. And that means a ton to me. So I would love to be able to be in that kind of circumstance where we could just provide for ourselves without having a lot of, without having to spend our whole lives in the rat race. Trying to just get more and 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 more money just to stay ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead and ahead of this stuff that's going to eat you flipping alive. It's like right now. But let's go back and talk to it. We'll have to talk to it later because we're almost out of time. Again! You know, if I talk about it, I'll talk about it in the next podcast. So you'll just have to hang loose. This is Jay Nemro. You're listening to Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlith. If you'd like more information or if you'd like to get more of these podcasts, go to quix.us, quix.us. That's the source. That's where everything is. Everybody have a great day. Please, 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 please. I'm hoping that you get the message that mindlessly following the trend is not the answer. It's not going to bring you happiness. It's not going to bring you joy. Someday, you have to figure that out. This is Jay Nemro, Quasi-Indefatigable Zenlith. Don't be a coward.